So with having this wedding on Saturday, did I mention I was at a wedding again?
Yeah.
I had to change my schedule around. So Friday morning, I sat down and I knew what I was going to preach on today. And I looked at the words and I read it and a peace came over me. A real peace. Usually you might notice I'm a little nervous and agitated every week, right? A little bit too. But no, Joey, it was gone. The Holy Spirit came on me, all right? It was in my little office, in my basement with the air conditioning. No cats allowed in that room. They do bad things. And I sat there and I was like, this story of Jesus is, I'm in love with it. Are you in love? You're in love, Craig, right? With her, she's awesome. I told you that. How many times? You knew it. You found it out for yourself. Right, Robbie, in love, you know what it feels like, and it's a great thing. You too, you kids, getting started at 60 years. You know what love is. And I'm sitting there reading, and I'm like, I just love what it says. I didn't want to do this. I was trying to find something that I thought I wanted to do. And so I read what I'm supposed to do, and I read Matthew 11. It's like, this is what I need. I need to hear it. I think you need to hear it. You see, in the book of Kings there, we have a man named Elijah, and he's a great prophet, and he fights 400 priests of Baal, and he has to slay them all with a sword, and then he runs away, and he has all these adventures, it seems, and he's the great prophet. And one day, God said, that's enough, you're done. But he doesn't die. You know the story, a chariot of fire comes by. He gets in the chariot of fire and it takes him off to heaven. He doesn't suffer death. So we know that he's coming back. And the Jewish people for the weekend, what's it called when they celebrate? Sabbath? Yeah, the Sabbath. So when they had their Sabbath dinner, they come together and there's an empty seat. And it's for Elijah because he's coming back. And so they wait and they wait and they wait. Of course, they don't recognize it when he comes back. But it's not Elijah, because God does things his way, doesn't he? And he doesn't ask our permission. He does it his way. So his Elijah, the new Elijah with a new covenant, that was the old one. Here's the new one. I'm going to send a man named John. You heard the story. We do it at Christmas. Remember Gabriel? Lisa, did I pound Gabriel on your head? Remember when Gabriel shows up, things are happening. That name. If Gabriel pops in this church today, guess what? It's on. You better listen. So anyway, they say John is going to be the new one. He is going to prepare the way of the Lord. He's the one from Isaiah 40 that will say, make straight the paths, make straight the way. All the crooked roads must be made straight. The valleys filled in, the mountains taken down. Make your paths straight. And John comes along and he preaches repentance. Have you ever seen Charlton Heston in The Greatest Story Ever Told? He plays John the Baptist with a Scottish accent. It's really cool. He's like, laddies, repent. And he jumps down and people attack him. He's this crazy wild man with a coat of camel's hair and he's eating locusts. Have you ever seen the price of a camel hair coat at Nordstrom's? It's like $1,100. He was bougie before it was cool, right? And locusts. They're $80 a pound dried. I ordered them. They're nasty. We ate them. Chili flavored locusts, you know, to teach the Bible kids. Nasty. We ate them. Lots of bugs around my house. I could feast, you know. But here we are. He was bougie. And honey is, of course, very expensive. And half of it's fake these days. I'm like, they're faking honey? Come on. Can we just have something real? Why they got to mess everything up? And so he comes, the new Elijah's here, and the Jews don't recognize him. And there he is, he's down by the shores of the River Jordan on the banks there, and he's baptizing and saying, repent, prepare, it's happening again. Get ready for him. And then Jesus comes and he's baptized, starts his ministry, and John says, I'm going to fade away. It's all about him. He's so humble. It's all about Jesus, not about me. And he criticizes King Herod for stealing his brother's wife, and he marries her, even names her after himself. Her name is Herodias. That's not her real name. He's Herod, and she's her. He renames her. Man, you're going to be Shawnella from now on, right?
Sure.
You are no longer your own. You belong to me. No, this ain't cool. It don't work, does it, Sharon? Good luck, right? You're getting a new name. No, you're not. She did take my last name. I was like, yeah, she likes me. And so he criticizes the king. Free speech, no First Amendment there in Palestine. They throw him in prison. And so he's there and he's waiting. What's going to happen to him? He's got disciples that come, allowed to attend to him, because King Herod actually likes the guy. And of course, they have a big dinner and a dance. And, you know, he's the guest of honor at the dinner, you know. And so they bring his head out there, and that's it for John. But he's sitting there in prison. And here in chapter 11, we see Jesus. He's just healed. He's in Capernaum, and he's healed the centurion, his servant. The centurion shows his great faith, and Jesus can't believe that an outsider Roman would show such great faith that believed that Jesus could heal his son with just a word. You don't even got to go touch him. You don't even have to say, just think it, Jesus, and he's healed, and he is. And he goes up to a town called Nain, and they're having a funeral procession, and the woman's crying because her son's dead, and guess what that means? The son is there to support her and protect her. She's lost everything. What's she going to do now? Who's going to take care of her? And Jesus sees the pain. He sees the suffering. He says, get up, young man, get up. And John, meanwhile, is sitting in prison. You see, he's crying out, repent, change your ways, change your ways. Get ready for the king. The king is coming. And here comes Jesus. And what's he doing with it? Maybe John's a little confused because he sends his disciples out. And here we are in chapter 11 of Matthew. After Jesus had finished instructing his disciples, he went on there to teach and to preach in all the towns in Galilee. When John, who was in prison, he heard about the deeds of the Messiah. He sent his disciples to ask him, and this is a big question, folks. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else? Jesus in the Bible is asked a question 187 times that's recorded. You know how many times he answers it? Three. He changes the subject. It's beautiful. I was in the liquor store again. I don't care what y'all think. I go there to see my friend, all right? His name's Marty and Tiffany, so Marty comes here and, you know, get my wife a can of wine, the good stuff. And so I go to see Marty, and I told him he can't make it today. He had to work. And I said, we're talking about Jesus never answering questions. And Marty goes, like when he said, was Caesar in the money? Like, you give to Caesar? I'm like, absolutely. Don't you love it? We're in a liquor store talking about Jesus. All right? All right, Lisa? No condemnation. No judgment there, right? So Jesus doesn't answer the question. But he says, listen to this. He says, go back and report to John what you see and what you hear, that the blind have received sight and the lame walk again, and those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor, and blessed to anyone who does not stumble on account of me. What's he doing? He's fulfilling the prophecy, isn't he? You see, when we talk about Abraham taking his son to be sacrificed, it's not the same place. It's a different place because that's not the story. The story is Jesus reverses the curse. And here again, he fulfills the law. He fulfills Isaiah 61, which he quotes there in Luke chapter 4. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord. And we always stop there, don't we? Because nobody likes what it says next. So we cut it out. We don't do that around here, do we, Joey? We're going to read it all. We won't read Song of Solomon. There's some good parts in there. I read it at their wedding, and I had to cut out the... You got to read. Read it together, husband, wife. Not kidding you. Not kidding you, Don. Good stuff in that book. And so he says, on the day of vengeance of our God, the day of his return. And what's he going to do that day? And Mary Beth taught me this song, to comfort all who mourn. I'm going to sing it because I don't care. I have no shame. To provide for those who grieve in Zion. So you know what he says? To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord. that he might be glorified. Amen to that? Amen. Album available in the back if you want to. Remember that?
I do.
People say, Robbie said, how do you keep remembering all this stuff in 30? We just do. Miss Nile taught us a song, and we never lost it. That was in sixth grade. She pounded that into our... You remember Carol Nile? She taught us back then, and it's a small world. She knows her too. All right, keep going, Sean. Go back and report what you've seen. You see, disciples, you're looking for repentance. Maybe it's from judgment. Maybe things aren't happening as fast as even John wants it to. But he sends the disciples to Jesus to see him face to face. And there are no stupid questions, right? You can go to Jesus with your question. Why isn't things happening the way we want them to happen? And Jesus says, you see, I'm fulfilling the prophecy. The lame are walking again. The dead will rise. Those who can't see, the blind will see again. It's the year of the Lord's favor, don't you see? And as the disciples were leaving, Jesus now talks about John. He turns the question back on who John was. They know he's in prison. And he said, when you saw John, what did you expect to see? A reed swayed by the wind? That wasn't John, was it? He went after the king. He's not a reed blowing in the wind. It blows this way, it blows that way. Whichever way the wind blows, that's where the reed blows. What did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, he's wearing camel hair and eating a jar of honey. No, was he dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are there in the king's palace. Then what did you go to see? What did you go to the shores of the banks of the Jordan to see that day? Something was happening. He was proclaiming something. You went there to hear a prophet. Because for 400 years, there was no prophet in Israel. 400 years, heaven was quiet. What's happening? What's God's plan? And here comes John saying, repent, the kingdom is near. Here comes the Lamb of God. This one's called the Messiah. But he's more than a prophet, he says. This is the same one who was about, it was written, I will send my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare the way before you, from Malachi. It's the last chapter, right? Malachi chapter 4. This is the last thing God says for 400 years. I'm going to send somebody, and they're waiting for it. And when he comes, do we recognize him? Not done yet. Truly, I tell you, there's of those born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. But whoever's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than even he. He's so great, but anyone, the least is better than him, you see. The kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. We still see violence today. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he says, he's the Elijah to come. He's the one you were waiting for. And if you have ears, listen. So I was talking to one of the young girls that my fifth graders, six, that grew up. And she's a beautiful, striking young woman. We were talking and she said, I'm kind of moved away from my faith. And my heart breaks. So I got a minute or two to bring her back. No, it's, what can I do? What can I say? Friday morning, the feeling I felt, I haven't felt it in a long time. I felt it in a little church in Port Deposit one night. It was the Good Friday service, Mary Beth, and Provy Powell was on fire. The Holy Spirit descended on that little white church, white on the outside, stucco. Black church. It was hot in there, and the music was beautiful. And Provy Powell is a wonderful preacher. He's up in Wilmington now. He was preaching. I felt it. I felt the change. I felt the change come over me. I knew I was different, and I'll never be the same. And you know, it comes and it goes. But I remember what I felt. And I remember what I felt the first time I read this story. And do you remember what you feel when you reread it? Do you feel the Spirit coming over you? Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you falling in love over and over again? You see, we had a group of friends, and we all raised our kids together. And at one time, we had this huge amount of baby clothes. And whoever got the new baby, remember, we would take that big thing, and there would be things unworn in there. And when they were done, they went to the next one. The Poteets got them for a while, the Calhouns, the Palfies, the Herms. We went through them all, wear them off. It was this bulk of things. And now I look, and the marriages have fallen apart. And I sat with a friend who's they're separated, and I asked where his wife was. He said, "I don't know." I'm like, "What do you mean you don't know?" And then I got it. Ooh, a little slow sometimes. It's like, what? So where is she? And, well, we kind of drifted apart. We don't have anything in common. I'm like, if you don't, who else? Do you have something more in common with someone you haven't met yet? This is the one you have everything in common with. Date him again. Fall in love with her again. You said it before God and you meant it then. Say it again now and mean it. Fall in love. And you read this story. You see, the first time I preached this story, I was down in licensing school. I had a panel of judges. And so one of them was Jack Shatama, a man that I thought I admired, and I don't. I did. And then he turned on me. And so I'm sitting there and I'm giving this sermon. And they're probably different. And when I got done, he says, "That was terrible. You're missing a lot. You're missing a call to action." He said, "You got to get up there and you got to tell the people what you want them to do." And I said, "Dad, I always speak my mind, which doesn't really help me too much." And I said, "No, Jack, I've seen preachers do that. They come and tell you where the money's going to go, how things are going to go, what you should be doing, Miss Choir Director, how things should be better. I got ideas on how you can do things better. You've been doing them wonderfully all along, but you're going to change." Or come to me and say, "Sean, you know what would be better than the way you're doing things? You remember that conversation? Sean, you're not teaching the kids singing songs right. We're going to take this on the road." Mary Beth was horrified. She goes, "I can't tell him that. He told me that." The call to action, what is it to do? And you know what? I've not told you what to do. I haven't told you how to spend your money. I haven't told you how to give more money. I don't tell people to paint the parson. I'll tell you, this is not my spot. The call to action, here's what it is. It's, what does the Lord say? Read it for yourself, Paula, and fall in love with him. Who is he? And you know what he says? He's saying, "Listen, if you have ears, listen. If you have eyes, read what the scripture says. What can I compare you all to?" He says, "You know what you're like?" He says, "You're like children. You're like children playing in the marketplace like they do when they gather the kids together. They got their own little stupid games." And we had a party once, and they played this baseball, soccer, field hockey, some sort of game with a swimming pool in the middle. We're not sure what the game was, but who cares what it is? They're doing their own thing. They make up their games. So back then, they're playing a game where they would pretend they were at a funeral. And they would pretend, and they would line up, and somebody would be singing sad songs because they knew them. This is what they knew. And they said, we sang a sad song, we sang a dirge, and you didn't cry. Then the kids played wedding, we played the pipe for you to sing and to be joyful, and you didn't dance. You didn't dance when you heard the happy song, you didn't cry when you heard the sad song. You're not listening to what we're saying. You see, John comes along, and he doesn't eat or drink, and he's very austere is the word. And they say about that guy, the guy down by the river saying, "Repent," he's got a demon. He's crazy. He doesn't eat or drink with us. He doesn't drink alcohol. He's a Nazirite, right? Right? Never will it touch his lips. Locust, honey. Then they see me coming. And he eats and drinks with them, right? He sits down and has wine with the tax collectors and eats. And he goes out in the field on the Sabbath. They pick grain. He eats and he drinks. And they say about Jesus, he's a glutton. He's a drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And the question is, which is it? C.S. Lewis says he's either the son of God or he's a crazy man who deserves to be killed. Is Jesus the one you're looking for? And you got to ask yourself this. Are you looking for something else? I hope you find whatever it is. I know Jesus is the one. And I watch all these videos and they say, how do you know you're saved? Are you sure you're going to lose it? It's going to slip away. No. No, no, no. Jesus says, he is my Lord. He is Savior. 20 years ago, I couldn't say that in front of anyone. But I can say it now because I know him. I've felt his presence. He changed me in that little church in Port Deposit on Friday afternoon. He said, everything's all right. He came over me. Everything's all right. Everything's all right. And I sit with that young, beautiful girl, and she says, I don't know. We'll pray for her, all right? Pray for her to find her way back to her true love. Would you pray with me? We didn't dance. When Jesus played the beautiful song, we didn't dance with him. Or when we sang the sad song, we didn't cry. Is he the one? What are we doing? Are we waiting for someone else? And God fulfills his prophecy. He will send the messenger. He will send John. Not the way we expect him. Not splitting the heavens in a chariot of fire coming back, but a man sitting by the banks of the river just saying, repent. Change your ways. Turn back to God. Turn back to the love of your youth. Jesus comes. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the resurrection. No one gets to the Father except through me. I will bring you more joy than you've ever imagined. I will bring division too, he says. I will pit brother against brother and sister against mother and father against son. I came to divide the world. Am I the one or not, he says. And this church says he is, amen. He is the one. He's the one we've been waiting for. Fall in love with him again. Read the scriptures. Don't listen to the man in the pulpit. Listen, follow him. Listen to the man that leaps out from the pages and says, I love you. I love you because I love you because I love you. And I will redeem you. I will pay the price for you because you are worth it. You are so beloved. We come together in gratitude and love in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.